Thank you for being here, and I do believe that I have a message today that will benefit you and bless you. We are continuing in the series called Transformational Power. This will be the last message in this series, more than likely. And today, I'm going to be talking about extending your reach and influence for the kingdom. It doesn't matter what type of work or how you spend your days. You may be a homemaker working with children and duties at home. You may be a neurosurgeon and dealing with people who are in crisis and dealing with the fear of a health challenge. You may be a school teacher or a coach and dealing with young people who are trying to navigate all the peer pressures that are before them in today's culture. You may be a construction worker that's surrounded by an atmosphere that's challenging to you at times. Regardless of what your day-to-day world looks like, as a believer, you are to extend the kingdom and to be an influence wherever God has positioned you. And I think I can truthfully, honestly say over each believer in the house today, God has some big plans for you. We serve a big God. And whatever He's doing in your life, you can bank on the fact that it's not just about you. He always has redemption in mind as His goal. And so in this series, we are trying to stir up our spirit man, to realize we can make a difference in the world. We're not to live behind the four walls of the church building from Sunday to Sunday. Thank God for that. That's definitely biblical. There's a place for that and a great need for that, to be equipped, to be encouraged, to corporately worship with brothers and sisters. We're not to forsake that, the Bible says. But what goes on here needs to translate to making a difference out there. And so this is the sixth week in this series. Now, coinciding with the scope of today's message, I want to share with you that we're going to be launching a new ministry here at Grace House, and it's going to be entitled Kingdom Business Breakthrough. And we've been praying and talking about this for a while. Joe Legalbo, who's one of our executive board members, Joe, wave your hand back there in the booth. He will run point on this. And this is a step for this house to come alongside of those of you who have a business and to help you realize that the strategies and mindset that the Bible teaches us makes a big difference in those businesses that you oversee or own or are a part of. Now, you can learn a lot of good stuff from Google that'll help you. There's gurus that have stuff that'll help you. But let me say something. The favor of God will go far beyond whatever you'll find on Google and from the gurus. Living a life that's aligned with God's Word and positioning your life for the favor of God is transformational. And particularly in this era of human history in which we're living. I'm telling you, in the next decade, there is going to be so much change in this world. It's just mind-numbing with the advent the way the energy is going to be stored and is being stored with autonomous driving, robo-taxiing, air transportation, electric vehicles, blockchain technology, changing the economic system, and more than all of that, artificial intelligence. All of that's going to combine to change so much of how the world functions. But that is not to leave believers behind. You have access to the mind of Christ, the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives. And what God can do for you, He can open doors that no man can shut. He can shut doors that no man can open. He can show you what's coming. He can warn you. He can guide you. He can inform you. All of that's available to you. So this ministry is going to be aiming at helping you in that regard. And to begin with, it's just for those who already have a business. Now, I know there are a number of you that may be thinking about a side hustle or a business. There'll be opportunities for that that will grow out of what we're going to be starting. But for right now, if you are a business owner, if you have a business as a side hustle, I encourage you to let us know. And here's how you can do that this morning. Take that blue connection card, fill it out with your name. Make sure you put your name, your phone number, and your email. On the back of that card, just write the word business. And don't forget that. Do it right now if you want to. And then you can put it in an offering box or hand it to Joe back there. We want to see how many people may be involved in this, and then we'll begin get streaming information to you. Or if you need more information about that, you can see Joe or get that information, and we'll get some things out to you. Amen? Really ties in with what the Lord's laid on my heart today. But today's message is just not about businesses. It's about wherever you may fit in what we call those seven mountains of culture. It may be government, it may be education, healthcare, arts and entertainment, media, family, the mountain that's called religion, all of these mountains. What I'm going to share with you today will help you. Well, I'm retired, and I just kind of live day by day, do what I need to do. This will help you. Do not turn anything off up here. Tune in, okay? I assure you this is going to encourage you and bless you today if you'll receive it. What we're going to look at is a man named Joseph in the Old Testament, a young man. It's amazing if you want to dive in and do a full study of the life of Joseph that begins in Genesis 37. What that young man went through, what that young man did, and what God accomplished through his life. You and I are being blessed here this morning because of the decisions made by a young man named Joseph way back yonder in the Old Testament. Now, the big deal is the fact that Joseph was a dreamer. He had a dream, and God used him in the area of dreams. I'm going to share a scripture out of Psalm 105. If you want the full story, start reading at Genesis 37 and read a stretch because it goes on for chapters. But it's kind of summed up here in Psalm 105. And out of that, I'm going to just take a couple of verses here and we're going to zero in on one of them primarily. All right, you ready? Psalm 105, verse 17, talking about Joseph. He sent a man, that is God, sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. You read on from there. That's when Pharaoh put him in charge of everything in ancient Egypt. And all Israel was saved from a famine that would have wiped them out. But verse 19, look at it again. Until. Oh, come on now, listen. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. We're going to camp out on that verse this morning. Let's see what the Lord has to share with us. This word that Joseph got came to him through a dream. He got a revelation from God while he was sleeping one night. The whole field of study there just absolutely fascinates me. One day this past week, I talked about Joseph, not this Joseph, but the Joseph who married Mary. An angel visited him while he was having a dream. He had an accurate, authentic, powerful encounter with an angel of God in his dream. While he slept, he, that is Joseph, conscious Joseph, inside a dream, has a revelatory face-to-face encounter with an angel. Why? Because the spirit realm operates different than this material, natural realm. A lot of stuff can go on inside of a dream. Joseph had a dream, and let me give you the skinny on it. I'll paraphrase. You can find all of this beginning in Genesis 37. He has a dream, and there's some imagery involved, but here's the meaning of Joseph's dream. Joseph had 10 other brothers, all older than him. Benjamin was the youngest. But Joseph has a dream, and he's excited. I mean, when you have a dream and you know it's a God dream, that's an excited thing. And by the way, when you do have a dream that God's behind, there will be a weightiness on it. There will be, your spirit will be alerted that this dream is beyond what you did the day before that's still laying around up there, or the pizza that you ate before you went to bed that's messing with you. But you'll just have a sense of knowing that God is talking to you through that dream. Joseph had one of those dreams. It was a God dream. He was excited, and it's an exciting thing when God begins to share revelation with you. He shares it with his brothers. They didn't throw a party for him. They were kind of upset with him. Your big brothers going to kneel before you? I don't think so. And then mom and dad, part of his dream, he had his dream, and his mom and dad, they do the same thing. And they were like, it's almost like this. Jacob is like, almost like this. It's like, son, you need to stay in your place. You know, it's mom and dad. You're supposed to be. But that's not what God showed him. Now, I'm not saying Joseph carried the revelation correctly. I'm not saying that maybe he should not have used it in the way he did. But nevertheless, God spoke to him. And this tells us it was from God. Verse 19, until the time that his word, notice, his word. And so what we're going to talk about today is his revelation. Joseph got a revelation. And I want to encourage you that God will still speak to you today too. And so the first thing I want to, there's four things I want to talk about this revelation, and then we're done here today. The first one is simply this, the revelation received. Joseph had a dream, and he concluded from the dream that God had spoken to him. Sometimes God's trying to speak to you, and you're not receiving it. You're not listening. Or it don't square up with what you want to do, so you stick with what you want instead of what God wants. And you don't open your heart and say, Lord, you know more than I do. Your plan for me is better than my plan for me, so I received this as from you. And I'm taking hold of it, and I'm going to allow it to influence my life. I'm gonna make my decisions based on what you're saying to me in this revelation. We don't always have that attitude toward what God says to us. And by the way, in order to receive revelation from God today, you've got to believe that God still speaks. And unfortunately, we live in a time when too many people spend too much time trying to convince Christians God doesn't talk like this anymore. We've got the Bible. Thank God we've got the Bible. I'm not going to put anything I say on the level of Holy Scripture, but the Bible that we honor, that we receive from, is the very source of information that tells us that God still does these things. He speaks through dreams. We as the church all embrace the truth that the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out, right? Well, that was the first message preached to the church, gathered. And in that message, Peter says, God prophesied this, that your old men's going to have dreams and young men's going to see visions, and both men and women, young men, young women, are all going to prophesy. So the book informs us that we are a prophetic, revelatory people. We should be alert that God will speak to us through the Holy Bible. God can speak to us through circumstances. God can speak to us through a dream. I'm not saying every dream's a God dream. I'm saying not every dream is a God dream. But sometimes you'll have a dream that God's speaking to you through that dream. Sometimes you may have a vision that's like having a dream with your eyes open. Sometimes that vision may be something you see in front of what you're seeing out in the natural world, and it's just kind of like watching TV. You can still see everything going on around it, but there it is. Sometimes that vision may be inside you in your mind, and that functions the way your imagination does, but yet you're seeing something internally, but yet the Holy Spirit's bearing witness. This is God speaking. God still talks. Nobody has pushed the mute button on God. Well, no, I got to re-say that. The people who think they pushed the mute button on God, it didn't work. God still talks. Amen? All right. In order to act on a revelation, you've got to receive it. You've got to believe it. God will speak to you. Today in this message, the Holy Spirit can work through God's word that I'm preaching and say something to you about your life. That's part of what can happen when you're under the preaching and teaching of the word. And I'm not saying that everything that comes out of my mouth is the Lord talking to you. No, no, no. But I'm saying there are times when from the written word being preached, you get a rhema word from that. And God, you know that's for you. This is what I've been praying about. This is what I'm needing. It's a confirmation for me. You've got to be willing to receive revelation from God. That's enough said about that. You got it? Are we two thumbs up on that? All right, let's move on to the number two. The second thing is the revelation resisted. This is the part that confuses people. Well, I know the Lord spoke to me. I had a dream. Well, I had a vision. Well, I was listening to this sermon, and God just spoke to me, or I had a stirring in my heart when I was reading the scripture, and I know the Lord was speaking to me about this. And we see this, the Lord puts this thing out in front of us like, wow, that would have to be God, but we believe it. And we got the word last night, and it's already noon the next day, and it hadn't happened, and we get discouraged. Joseph is going to be hanging on for about 20 years before the fullness of it all comes forth. The revelation God gives you, you will face resistance. You can read about Joseph's brothers. They didn't like it at all. As a matter of fact, not long after he has these dreams and tells them about it, his daddy Jacob sends him out to check on them. They're out there watching the sheep. They see him coming. Paraphrasing. There comes that dreamer. Then they make a plan and a plot. They're going to kill him. That tells you there was some hatred and resentment. After all, his daddy had made him this coat of many colors. Here's my favorite, sons. I would encourage you not to do that if you've got more than one child. Okay? And so they've got resentment. They've got hatred toward him. They're going to kill him. They throw him in a hole in a pit and talk about killing him. And the oldest knows he'll be held responsible, so he kind of like, back off. Let's come up with something else. And just so happened, a band of slave traders come by, and instead of killing him, they sell him into slavery. He's carried off to Egypt and sold on the slave market. They put his feet in fetters and laid him in irons. That's what that's talking about in Psalm 105. So he got resisted. They didn't want to hear his revelation. They weren't open to it. You can't make your word come to pass. You got to walk it out in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And I see people sometimes, and I've been guilty, mishandling the revelation that we get, trying to make it happen. Well, yes, your faith needs to be engaged. And yes, you need to be willing to do, here's the key, willing to do what the Lord leads you to do. Amen. Instead of like, wow, this is God. All right, I'm going to do this. I'll need to do that. I'm going to do that. And every step you have to be led by the Spirit. Because not only is the Lord leading you toward destiny, but He has a chosen way for you to arrive there. The revelation will be resisted. Now, what was the revelation again? The brothers, mother and father, are going to bow before Him. Right? That's the revelation He got. There's going to come a time, Joseph, when you're like a ruler, and even your whole family are going to have to kneel and bow before you. But one of the next things that happened is not that. Because the revelation was, here's Joseph, and here are his brothers bowing before him. But the next thing you see is, here are his brothers looking down in a hole, and down there's Joseph. Isn't that amazing? God gives him a revelation of how his brothers are going to bow before him, but the next thing that happens is he's down there beneath his brothers looking down at him, talking about killing him. It shouldn't shock you that when God begins to deal with you and stir with you for you to step into your destiny, what he has for you, regardless of what mountain he may be putting you in to work, whatever it is, you should expect resistance. People aren't going to be as excited as you are. You got the revelation. They didn't. It'll have to unwind in time before them. You can't make it happen. But you can't expect this often. Whatever's the opposite of what God said he's going to do, the enemy will try to bring that about. And that's what's happening. The Bible tells us his brothers meant it for evil. When we get to the end of the story, we are told what they did to him. They meant it for evil. God didn't make them do it. They meant it for evil. Joseph didn't choose it. They meant it for evil. They wanted to end his life and then thought, well, we'll improve the plan and we'll just sell him as a slave and not never have to deal with him or see him again. And then they made up a lie. They took the coat, smeared blood on it, gave it to the dad, said, Dad, a wild animal killed Joseph. He's no more. End of story. Don't be discouraged if the opposite of what you know God shared with you starts happening. But the question lingers, why would God allow it? What am I going to do about it? And does it really make a difference? I'm telling you, if God is allowing it, God is going to use it, and it will make a difference. What you discover in life is this. God will use resistance against the revelation he's given you. He will use the resistance to build inside of you persistence. Persistence. Patience. Perseverance. If we announce today we're having a seminar this coming weekend on becoming patient and how to persevere, why, we may have to rent a football stadium somewhere. We could probably meet in the corner over there with the other three people. Because that doesn't excite us. But we fail to see that that's really a big part of life. We get revelation and we're excited, but then the resistance comes. It happened to Jesus. 40 days, he had been fasting, so he's hungry. You know, when you're hungry, you don't want to see the Big Mac commercial, do you? You know? So the devil comes and says, I'm paraphrasing again, use that powerful imagination and those powers you have. See these stones? Imagine butter-covered, toasted, hot bread coming out of the oven. Why don't you use your powers and turn these stones into bread? You're hungry. You can meet that need your way. He still does the same things today. So he's going to try to seduce you, deceive you, sidetrack you by doing your own thing instead of warring through the resistance. We all know if you want big muscles, go to the gym. See those guys sporting those big pythons? What, they get under that weight and that resistance. Why would somebody do something like that? Well, you can tell I hadn't been there much, but that's how you build muscle. Mickey bought me some of those resistance bands. You do this and it starts building your muscle. I've used them a few times. But we know that in the natural realm, you build muscle by resistance. It's true in the spiritual too. God will use the resistance that comes against you to build strength so that you can go from strength to strength. And that will deepen your faith so you can go from faith to faith. And using your faith, that will bring more manifestation of God's glory so you can go from glory to glory. The tough times, the difficult times, the trying times, the hard times, the times you're misunderstood, the times you're mistreated, the times you outright blow it, all of that, if you'll put it in God's hands, will never be wasted. That's the grace of God at work. But you have to realize resistance is a part of a walk with God. And if you're going to make a difference out there, listen to me. If we are going to make a difference out there, then we've got to handle all of that in a way that is different than the world handles it. You say, what? Come here, buddy. No. We're light where there's darkness. We're salt where there's corruption. We're leaven, like a leaven in a loaf of bread, that's to permeate culture with the life and love of Jesus Christ. The revelation resisted. Now, how can that apply? Let's say, for example, you're wanting a new line of work, or you feel out of place what you're doing now. Like, you know, and it's like if you've ever heard teaching on the eagle, Mama Eagle, when it's time for those little ones to fly, starts removing the fluff out of the nest, the feathers, the soft stuff, so there's just sharp sticks left, and those little eaglets get uncomfortable. They finally get over there on the edge until they're willing to bail off and fly. God works through the uncomfortable things in our life often to get us to arrive where we need to arrive. Let's say that you put in 15 job applications and you've had 11 interviews and you still haven't gotten that job. Well, you have an option. Well, I must be missing it. Nobody understands me. You can go through all that stuff. Or you can say, Lord, I believe you're stirring me to do something different. I'm looking for that open door. My knuckles are bleeding from knocking. Nothing's happening. But then you realize, Lord, I realize that you are at work. I can't see what you're doing, but you are at work. So therefore, everything I'm going through is to prepare me for what you have prepared for me. Okay? So in other words, the reason you may have gone through 11 interviews is that God is using all these other interviews to sharpen you, polish you, sandpaper you. You're learning through the process. And by the time you get to the one that God's going to open for you, you're prepared. You're slick. You're smooth. You've got the answer. You're coming across so much better than you were in interview one. God is using the uncomfortable process, and you're having to overcome a sense of rejection, and disappointment and discouragement and disillusionment. But all the time, God is using that to position you for your breakthrough blessing of what he has for you, where he has for you. We have to have faith like Joseph. I kept the verse on every slide today for a reason. Look at what the verse says. Until the time that his word, that is his word he got from God. How we know it's from God? It says the word of the Lord tested him. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So instead of seeing, I'm being rejected, you know, they don't think I've got what it takes, instead of it looking that way, Joseph is realizing, God gave me this word. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to fight for this word. I'm going to try to keep my heart in the right place. And he had to do this over a number of years. Realize that this morning if you're discouraged, if you really feel like you've heard from the Lord and that God's got that something for you, don't give up. Don't complain and red X all the things you're going through. And I'm not saying God's causing any of that. I'm saying God will use all of that. Instead of draining you, God will use it to strengthen you. Instead of discouraging you, God will use it to encourage you. It's kind of like the Presbyterian that fell down the stairs and he got up and he said, well, I'm glad that's over with. You can say, you can have that attitude. Well, that's part of the process. I'm glad that part's behind me. God's got something good for me. And you keep walking. And you keep obeying. And you keep being salt and light, the best of your God-given ability. That brings me to the third observation I want to share with you. And that has to do with the revelation renewed. God is so good. Because as you look at the life of Joseph, his brothers resisted him, threw him in the pit, were going to kill him, then sold him into slavery. And the slaves carried him to Egypt, sold him at the slave market. But they sold him to a man named Potiphar, who was a high official in Pharaoh's inner circle. And so now he's a household slave. And he's in a strange culture. He doesn't know Egyptian language, much less Egyptian mathematics. He doesn't know all that stuff. But here's what I want you to begin to see through this story. When I'm talking about the revelation renewed, this is where we see the loving kindness and the goodness and the grace of God at work. God doing things along the journey to strengthen Joseph's faith, to remind Joseph that God is still watching over him and taking care of him. For instance, when he's in the hole, the first thing he hears his brothers talking about up there, they're going to kill him. But then they start talking about selling him into a band of slave traders. Now, that's not good either, but after you spend a few minutes thinking you're about to die, taking a trip out of town away from these brothers with whomever it is sounds pretty good. You can choose to see that God working. I'm not going to allow him to kill him. I'm going to allow him to be sold into slavery. And you can rejoice over that breakthrough. No, you prefer to go back home. You prefer to be where dad and mom and brothers are. You prefer to be there. But this is part of the process necessary to get Joseph where he needs to be at the time he needs to be there, to save a whole nation of people. And then when he sold in the slave market, he could have ended up at the bottom rung somewhere. But no, for some mysterious reason, Potiphar, he is drawn to Joseph and chooses to purchase him. So instead of being out there digging ditches or shoveling manure or whatever, he's placed in the household of one of the high officials in Egypt. That's God's favor. It doesn't end there. It's not too very long until Potiphar notices there's a spirit of excellence on this young man. This young man's got leadership on him. Because I'm watching him navigate circumstances. See, he found out by now he's from a group of people called Hebrews. They're not even from around here. He doesn't know our language, but yet he's seeing him working hard. He's trying. He's learning. He's got a spirit of excellence. He's not moaning, groaning, resisting, back-talking, anything. He's not having to put the lash to his back. He's just a fine young man. Potiphar recognizes that, and he starts delegating to Joseph. Well, he's handling that well. I'm going to delegate this to him. Well, it's amazing how he's picking up mathematics. This guy's got administrative ability on him. And he's observing how Joseph's responding to resistance, to change, to difficulty, and the favor of God is moving now on Joseph's life, and that's attractive to Potiphar. Potiphar doesn't know it's a favor of God. Potiphar just says, I can use this guy. This guy's an asset to me. This guy's a blessing to me. This guy's going to help me. But it's God's favor positioning Joseph. And the next thing that happens, Potiphar just says, you know, I've already given him this. Joseph, here's the keys. Need anything, ask me. I'm going to put you over everything that I own. That means now he's over the kitchen crew. He can get a brownie when he wants it. He's over the grounds crew. He doesn't have to do that job anymore. He's over this part. No, he doesn't have to do that. He's just managing. He's leading. He's got administrative abilities, and also he's got this entrepreneurial thing is on him. Things are just synchronized and efficient, and God's just blessing him. That's what the favor of God can do for you. You can start out on the lowest rung of a ladder, but the favor of God, as you respond and you let the Spirit of Christ manifest in your life and you respond to difficulty, your goal ought to be to make your employer successful, to make your boss successful, to make them look good, to serve them. Joseph understood this honor. He understood the loyalty. He understood the responsibility. And Potiphar recognized that and turned everything over to him. So now he's got favor. You don't have to worry about resistance anymore, right? Oh, no, it's not over. Because now he is so attractive, and Potiphar's talking about him so much, Potiphar's wife looks and sees what a handsome hunk he is, puts her eyes on him, and comes after him. Attracted to him, doesn't even realize she's attracted to that anointing that's on his life, and gets him alone one day and grabs hold of him. His coat comes off. Come lie with me. Yep, means what you think. And Joseph hightails it out of there, leaves his coat behind. This woman is scorned now. What does she do? She calls for Potiphar and basically falsely accuses Joseph of trying to seduce or rape her. And if you read the narrative in Scripture, it kind of indicates it seems like Potiphar wasn't sure if this was the truth or not, but what could he do? He has Joseph thrown into prison. Now, he's gone from the pit to Potiphar's house. Now, because the accuser is at work, he's in prison. Resistance. So he might have thought, man, I'm over Potiphar's. Well, my brothers and my parents would be real proud if they could see me now. I'm over this his whole estate. Well, that wasn't nothing compared to what God had coming for him. But the season of preparation was not yet over. Now he's got to go through prison. So you think, well, he's in prison. That's why. You know what? I tried doing it the right way last time, and look what's happened. So I'm done. I'm just D-O-N-E, done. That's not what Joseph does. Why? Because until the time came for that word to come to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Is he going to pass this test? What happens? Same anointings on him, same favor of God's on him. All he did was change places. And the keeper of the prison notices this on Joseph. And the next thing you know, Joseph's handed the keys to the entire penal system. He's administrating that. Got that gifting on him. And things are going great. And then in Pharaoh's house, he has a butler and a baker. Guy that cooks his food and a guy that serves his drink, all this kind of stuff, the cupbearer. And something happened in Pharaoh's house. And he couldn't figure out which one of them it was. So he just threw both of them in prison. And there was a period in there where they're, what's going to happen to us? And then they have dreams. Well, guess who's good with dreams? Joseph. So Joseph interprets their dreams. I'm making this condensed. Joseph interprets the dreams, and paraphrasing here, he looks at one and says, you're going to be released. You're going to get your job back. Cool it. It's going to be fine. Just trust me. It's going to be fine. But he also saw the other part of the dream, and he tells the other one, he says, sorry, it's done. You're a goner, bud. And guess what? It happened just like he said. Well, we don't know how many days, weeks, months, years passed with Joseph in prison. But one day, Pharaoh had a dream. He was very disturbed. Now, he's a pagan ruler in a pagan nation, but he had a dream that shook him to no end. He knew this wasn't just a dream. There's something the gods are trying to say to me. And the servant that had gotten out of prison remembered Joseph. He forgot him to them because Joseph told him, said, now listen, when you go back to Pharaoh's house, you be sure to let him know I'm the one, I interpreted these, you know. They forgot him. Until Pharaoh had a dream. And then the servant went to say, hey, you remember when I got in trouble with you and it really wasn't me, it was the other guy? And, well, while I was there, there was this young man. We had dreams, and he told us what the dreams meant. He might can tell you what your dream meant. So they called for Joseph. Joseph comes before Pharaoh. The dream is shared, and Joseph said, Pharaoh, this is what your dream means. You saw these fat cows coming out of the river? That means you're going to have 7 years of abundant harvest in all the land of Egypt. But then the seven skinny cows, that means it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. Oh my goodness, Pharaoh, what am I going to do? And Joseph says, here's what you should do. During the years of harvest and abundance, you should begin to lay aside and store up that grain and keep reserves. Then, when the 7 years of lean famine comes, you will have an excess in order to keep your people alive and well. Again, Joseph's got favor on him. As he's speaking, oh, Pharaoh's eyeing him. He's thinking, well, this makes perfect sense. He recognizes, he sees that excellence on Joseph. He sees that leadership on Joseph. In addition, God's favor, just, I don't know if y'all ever ran by that Bible verse in the Old Testament. It says this, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And the Lord can turn it ever which way he wants. So in that moment, yes, I believe God gave a dream to a pagan king. Well, I don't know about that. That's fine. But God gave a dream to a pagan king, and then moved upon his heart to grant favor to Joseph. And Pharaoh's like, who am I going to find among the rest of you rascals in here that's got this ability? Son, you're getting promoted today. And he turned everything in the whole nation over to Joseph, and no one had more authority in all the land than Joseph, except for Pharaoh himself. He was now Potiphar on steroids. Right? That's God. All along the way, God is moving with his favor to let Joseph know, haven't forgotten you, son. I'm working here, son. I'm going to open this door. I know you may not like a prison door, but I'm going to use it. But what happened? All through the years in Potiphar's house and in the prison system, God used that to give him a knowledge of how to administrate the Egyptian culture, how to oversee things, learned Egyptian language, learned how to do Egyptian algebra, if there's such a thing. He knew how to do all of that. God was schooling him. And sometimes we live in the mode, you know, the devil's just fooling me, and we give the devil all the due instead of realizing the devil's at work, but God's schooling me. You're going to operate in one of those things. No, God's in charge here. It may look like the devil's got the upper hand, but God's in charge here. God's in charge here. It's going to be just like God said, and he will prove faithful to you. When he speaks to you and he stirs in your heart, that's the revelation renewed. He'll do that along the way to give you opportunities to keep clinging, keep believing, keep clawing, keep climbing, keep moving forward. And that brings me to the last thing, the revelation redeemed. As I started with, I told you that God had big plans for you, and he had a lot more in mind than just you. God wants to use you to bless many people. He wants to use you to touch the lives of others. But he will use every step you're taking along the way. Listen, even your missteps. I'm living proof of that. You're living proof of that. We're all living proof of that. how God can make a miracle out of the mess you made. If you'll just turn your heart toward Him, give it all to Him. Lord, I can't unscramble this egg. I can't untangle this yarn. But I'm still going to love You and I'm going to serve You the best I can. Here I am, send me. Here I am reporting for duty. I'm ready to hear from headquarters. Just get your heart in that place and watch God move. Now, He may not do a quickie shuffle, but He will be moving. You can't see all that God's up to. You don't know all that God's up to. I will tell you this, it'll be better than you thought it would be. It'll be different than you thought it'd be. And you'll thank God for it when it's all said and done. This is redemption of the revelation. These same brothers who threw Joseph in the pit and were going to kill him, wanted to kill him, who meant it for evil, because Joseph faithfully walked through his circumstance, kept that word, and it just kept on testing him until the time came to pass. He hung on to it. There came a time in that season of famine when Jacob and all his boys and all their families were starving. They heard about Egypt had grain. Jacob sent some of his sons there. And when they came before Joseph to get grain, Joseph recognized them. Now, if most of us, well, I shouldn't say that. There's a part of most of us that could rise up and say, now I'm licking my chops. Now, I'm going to send them straight to the gallows and they're going to swing from a noose for what they've done. That's not what you see. Joseph's heart was moved. Now, he didn't tell them right up front who he was. He wanted to find out. Listen to this. Because what he did, what Joseph did, we have to learn to do. He gave them an opportunity to see if they had changed. He knew what it's like for the word of the Lord to test him. So now he's going to test them. He asked them questions. Well, tell me where you're from. Then he realized, oh, that young Benjamin, he's alive. So he devised a clever little plan. He hid a silver cup in one of their bags of wheat when they were going back home. Then he sent his soldiers and arrested them for stealing. Well, that's mean. Well, it's a small thing compared to what they did to him. Just have a little grace for him, okay? They come back, and he says, all right, you're in big trouble. I'm paraphrasing. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to keep this one here. The rest of you can go back, but you're going to have to bring that younger one back. If you can't bring him back with you, then don't come. Then they go home and tell Daddy, well, no, I'm not going to send Benjamin. I've already lost Joseph. Now I've lost this other son, and I'm not going to. So, but when they got hungry enough, he decided to send them. So they come back with Benjamin, and that's when Joseph comes back because they couldn't recognize him. Why? He'd gone Egyptian on them. I mean, he was sporting those the latest Egyptian fashion. They didn't recognize him. So he takes his regalia off. He said, I am Joseph, your brother. And then they fell upon each other, and they're weeping. The snot's running. The tears are flowing. They're yelping. They're crying. Reconciliation. They saw their repentance, their brokenness through this process. You see, Joseph realized the things God had to break in him in order to make him into who he needed to be. And now he's seeing God's broken these boys for what they did. And now the family's reconciled. They're back together. And they go out. He gets to see his daddy and mama. He takes care of all of them. They all move to Egypt. And now they're in a 5-star. Getting the best that Egypt has to offer. Why? Why? They got in on the blessings of the favor that was on the life of Joseph. Because he had a big, generous heart. You may feel knocked around, beat up, dragged around, forgotten, neglected, ignored. But let me tell you something. God hasn't forgotten you. And there's a sense. And when you've been in that, university of hard knocks, you've been in the grist mill of adversity. And maybe you feel ground up to a pulp. But God can take that pulp and create a beautiful monument to His grace that will glorify Him to the multitudes. That's your testimony. I remember hearing Joyce Meyer say years ago, some people have a testimony, some have a test, and then the monies. You know. But Joseph's testimony is that until the time came for that word to come to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. But the day came when he was released from prison, put in position, and he became the means of the salvation of Jacob, all his sons, and all their families. That means God positioned Joseph in order to keep the word he had made to Isaac, Jacob's father, who was Joseph's father. And he did that in order to honor the word he had made to Abraham, who was Isaac's father, who was Jacob's father, who was Joseph's father. And then he honored the word that he made to Adam and Eve in the garden about a seed that would come forth from a woman whose heel Satan would bruise, but whose head that child would crush, who became the Christ child, whom we are celebrating this month, and 2 weeks from this, 1 week from this Wednesday, we'll celebrate his birthday. I don't know if that's the day he's born or not. Some say it's not, but it's the day we choose to celebrate him. Celebrate his birth, but we celebrate him every moment of every day because he is Christ, the risen Lord, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. And Joseph's life stands out in history as one of the means by which God preserved the messianic line so that Christ could be born. The revelation's redeemed. Let me leave you with this thought. Some of you are going through tough stuff right now. Maybe with your children, your grandchildren, or just your marriage, your finances, your health. Again, please don't say God's causing any of this. But please leave knowing God will use it. It's not wasted in His hands. Sometimes what you're going through, again, it's not just about you. It's about your great-great-grandchild that hadn't been born yet and the plan that God has for his life or her life. It's about your daughter's son's daughter and the plan God has for her life. And you don't even know who his wife is yet. Just like Joseph didn't have a clue how what he was doing was going to enable you to receive what you've received from the Lord. But it was part of what God did to bring it to you. You're part of a huge puzzle God is fitting together. A large tapestry He's weaving a thread through. A beautiful mural. And He's dipping His brush in with your life and adding something to that. And around this city, there are people whose lives are going to be radically transformed and changed because of the yes you're giving God right now. The step of obedience you're choosing to take right now. Pressing in through that adversity you're facing right now. We are in this together. We're part of something much bigger than we are. And the notion that God desires to include us is intoxicating. I want you to stand with me this morning. Our worship team is coming. Our prayer team members are making their way to the altar right now. And I'm about to declare a scripture over you. Whatever you're facing this morning, whatever you're going through. And I want to preface it with this. There's no one in the room this morning that's figured how all the dots connect, can see the full picture, or it's got it all just exactly right in every way. But there's a lot of fire breathers here this morning that's got a desire in their heart for God's will to be accomplished in their life. And I want to say to those of you who are discouraged, are struggling, are bearing a burden this morning, maybe you're tired, maybe this season, as Vicki prayed earlier, this is a tough season for people that have lost loved ones. And it changes the mood at the holiday table. This is a lot of different emotions that people are dealing with. But this scripture is for the house. It is God who is at work in you right now, both to will and do that which is pleasing to Him. If God be for you, who can be against you? God is working all things together for good because you are called according to His purpose. And you love Him. So He's put it together for good. And what happened to you? Others, Satan, meant it for evil. But God will use it for good. It's part of the process. So try to shift your focus from the pain to the promise. From the failure to the future success. From the uncertainty to the assurance that God knows what He's up to. And I'm believing during this ministry time this morning that as prayers are prayed, that God's going to be working to renew revelation inside of you in the name of Jesus. And I encourage those of you that need that, I encourage you to just make your way right now. Even before we start the music, just step out from where you are. We have other people that can be up here. But come and believe that you're going to receive impartation for where you are right now. And trust that God is hearing your prayers. He knows your address. He knows what you need. Come and receive for Him right now. Father God, I pray as your Holy Spirit moves across this room, stirring our hearts. May we, like Joseph, be sensitive to where we are right now and how we need to respond and lift our eyes to you so that we'll pass the test that the word from you has placed on our life. Oh, may we be found faithful. May we be like the Virgin Mary who said, "Here I am, Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." May we be like old Job who was hurting so deeply, who said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." Oh, Lord, the trees may not be blossoming, as was said by the prophet. The fields may be empty, but we will yet put our trust in you, the Lord our God, for you are faithful. Move, oh, Spirit of God, breathe on this house this morning. Come, come. Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. As we begin to worship Him for a few moments now, you just come. Make your way to the front and allow the Lord to minister to your heart.
You're worthy of it all.
Everyone sing.
You're worthy of it all.
He is worthy. He is faithful. Would you come? Receive what you need from Him. Thank you for your faithfulness, O King. come? And Pastor Dot, would you take the mic and in a moment just close us out? I'm going to come down to be available to pray for people. Just as we continue to sing.
In 1972, I graduated January of UNA, and shortly thereafter my graduation, I was walking one morning to my Volkswagen, and I heard the Lord say to me, your ministry is going to change direction. So I have in my heart what he had promised. I thought he meant next morning. We left here and went to Gatlinburg, Kentucky. I went to seminary. While I was there, I saw revival, but I never saw what God promised. But he said, you're going to change direction. This went on for a number of years. In 1977, we moved back down south and pastored. And not long after that, it was the early part of 79, I came back to do a revival at Cloverdale Methodist Church. And the same ground, same place, 7 years later. I was having dinner with a couple that don't even go to church there, but they were attending a revival. As I was having dinner, he leaned across the table and said, Doc, have you ever thought about coming to Florence and starting a ministry? And I knew in my heart, the Lord said, 7 years, but it's time. I have a word for somebody. Your seventh year is knocking on your door. Take it. I am here. Jean and I are here. Christ Chapel's down the road. And I can go on from there because God's faithful to do what he said he would do. What we heard this morning is not a good message. It's beyond good. It was an incredible word from God. we heard. I think before you do anything, I think on the count of three, you ought to give God a great big God bless you and thank you for sending us a word. One, two, three. Put your hands together now and give God. Amen. I just encourage you, and I'm don't want to step where I don't need to go. I just want to encourage you. What you've heard, respond to it. Respond to it. Father, thank you for this incredible word. Thank you for these incredible people. Thank you, Lord, you're still talking. Thank you, Lord, that there's people still listening. Thank you, Lord, there's still people waiting and wondering. And I thank you, Lord, this morning that a number in this house is being awakened as we've heard this morning, that they're moving closer to that. And Lord, this could be the seventh year. So Lord, would you bless these precious ones? And I just decree and declare, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face shine on you.